Chapter 18. Dirk Gently briefly ran over the salient facts once more, while Richard Macduff's world crashed slowly and silently into a dark, freezing sea which he hadn't even known was there, waiting inches beneath his feet. When Dirk had finished for the second time, the room fell quiet, while Richard stared fixedly at his face.
"Where did you hear this?" said Richard at last.
"The radio," said Dirk, with a slight shrug. "At least the main points. It's all over the news, of course. The details, well, discreet inquiries among contacts here and there. There are one or two people I got to know at Cambridge Police Station for reasons which may occur to you."
"I don't even know whether to believe you," said Richard quietly.
"May I use the phone?" Dirk courteously picked a telephone receiver out of the waste paper bin and handed it to him. Richard dialed Susan's number. The phone was answered almost immediately, and a frightened voice said, "Hello? Susan, it's Richard, where are you? For God's sake, where are you? Are you all right?" "Don't tell her where you are," said Dirk. "Susan, what's happened?" "Well, don't you... somebody told me that something's happened to Gordon, but..."
"Something's happened? He's dead, Richard. He's been murdered."
"Hang up," said Dirk. "Susan, listen, I..." "Hang up," repeated Dirk, and then leaned forward to the phone and cut him off. "The police will probably have a trace on the line," he explained. He took the receiver and chucked it back in the bin. "But I have to go to the police," Richard exclaimed.
"Go to the police? Well, what else can I do? I have to go to the police and tell them it wasn't me."
"Tell them that it wasn't you?" said Dirk incredulously.
"Well, I expect that'll probably make it all right then. Pity Dr. Crippen didn't think of that. Would have saved him a lot of bother."
"Yes, but he was guilty."
"Yes, so it would appear, and so it would appear at the moment are you."
"But I didn't do it, for God's sake."
"You are talking to someone who has spent time in prison for something he didn't do, remember.
I told you that coincidences are strange and dangerous things. Believe me, it is a great deal better to find cast-iron proof that you're innocent than to languish in a cell hoping that the police, who already think you're guilty, will find it for you."
"I can't think straight," said Richard, with his hand to his forehead. "Just stop for a moment and let me think this out."
"If I may..."
"Let me think."
Dirk shrugged and turned his attention back to his cigarette, which seemed to be bothering him.
"It's no good," said Richard, shaking his head after a few moments. "I can't take it in. It's like trying to do trigonometry when someone's kicking your head. Okay, tell me what you think I should do."
"Hypnotism."
"What?"
"It is hardly surprising in the circumstances that you should be unable to gather your thoughts clearly. However, it is vital that somebody gathers them. It'll be much simpler for both of us if you will allow me to hypnotize you. I strongly suspect that there is a very great deal of information jumbled up in your head that will not emerge while you are shaking it up so, that might not emerge at all because you do not realize its significance. With your permission, we can shortcut all that."
"Well, that's decided then," said Richard, standing up. "I'm going to the police."
"Very well," said Dirk, leaning back and spreading his palms on the desk. "I wish you the very best of luck. Perhaps on your way out, you'd be kind enough to ask my secretary to get me some matches."
"You haven't got a secretary," said Richard, and left.
Dirk sat and brooded for a few seconds, made a valiant but vain attempt to fold the sadly empty pizza box into the waste paper bin, and then went to look in the cupboard for a metronome.